This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's hour four of the nation. We have an hour and a half of show to go live in Oxnard, California. Coverage brought to you by Metter Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, and Twin Peaks. And Will McClay, president, vice president of player personnel, was on with KNC Masterpiece earlier today. We have some cuts from him. We got some fun Cowboy stuff to talk about with you. Of course, Bobby Belt's coming up at 5:30. And then L.A. Live with Lucius Alexander coming up about 5:45, 45-ish. General at your service. There's Brian Broaddus, former Cowboy scout, Super Bowl winning scout, with you every afternoon starting at 2 o'clock here on your home of the Cowboys. Lucius and Carter back there in the Pimp Cup, coordinating your video and whatnot. Woolchuck and Chiafalo here on the tennis courts, coming off their first ever Cowboys media party at Nobu last night in Malibu. Oh, doesn't boy. Disappoint, does it?
Not at all. Even the drive-in was just absolutely beautiful.
How about that drive-in, huh?
How about that drive-in? It was spectacular. What a fun night it was. It was a who's who of celebrity from Al Michaels. Troy Aikman was
Christina
there.
Christina Pink
rocking and rolling.
Michael Silver.
Yeah, Mike Silver, Broaddus's guy, who was blowing kisses to him earlier. Mm-hmm. But it was fun seeing
Christy Scale.
You guys see Al Michaels?
Yeah, saw Al Michaels, which was great. He was holding court for a while. Troy Aikman was as well. I had a moment, small interaction with Troy Aikman, where he was in line for a nice little cold beverage. He didn't realize how long the line was.
Yeah,
and
he tried to cut it?
I was trying to get him to cut me. I said, are you kidding me, Troy Aikman? Like, you we're not waiting in line here. You go ahead and cut right in front of me. He was too much of a gentleman to do.
Ooh,
so.
A man of integrity.
That's right. He was. I can source this personally. He was slightly disappointed. There was no 8 beer, but there was quite a bit of Johnny Walker Blue in 1942, and
we went swimming.
We went swimming in both of those last night. I woke up in the middle of the night feeling like, oh no, I don't know how today is going to go. Thank God I don't do the morning show or the midday show, because I was struggling a bit. It's the first day, okay, that I missed the continental breakfast. I couldn't get out of bed by 9 o'clock. There was nothing I could do in order
to get
party.
9:30.
And now I'm paying the price.
Yeah.
Now I'm paying the price because I wanted to get a hot dog out here on the tennis courts, and I showed up about 2 minutes before they shut that thing down. So I'm hungry as hell.
Rumor has
now.
You just offered Woolchuck $20 for one of his soda shakes.
I'm inching closer and closer to being willing to drink.
What are you doing?
All this guy does is spill on himself.
I spilled all over myself. The Johnny Walker was a pleasant surprise. I didn't think they were going to have that.
It's are you kidding me?
For us.
It's
yes. Well, I figured Jerry would have it, but I didn't think they were just going to have that for the normal people.
Jerry and I had a good conversation about Saudi Arabia together. I went by
really?
And I just told him, about the friends I have. I told him Prince Faisal wanted me to tell him hello. Prince Bandar wanted me to tell him hello. And we had a big conversation. Matter
Did
of fact,
you ask him what he thinks of their media policy?
No, I just kind of was with this. He told some really, really cool stories and stuff that I probably can't tell on the air of Jerry working with as a diplomat.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So I'll kind of maybe one day we can maybe when I'm done with all this, I'll tell you that story. But it was really fascinating because of like and his the guy who's his bodyguard. It's not Rose anymore. It's another guy. And so he's like, Jerry, we've got to go. And Jerry's like, I'm telling a story here.
He wasn't happy.
He wasn't. Yeah, he was like totally. And I was so it was fun to kind of catch up. And I was telling about my trip to Saudi Arabia. And he knows the people that I was with. So that's what made it very, very cool.
Well, Nobu's outstanding. There's a number of different spots along that Malibu Strip. It's like 22 miles long.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the longest town you'll ever see. There's a number of places where you can sort of stop and take in the scene. But I don't know that any are as nice as Nobu. They freaking knock it out of the park.
We're right on the water.
Yeah.
It's just, it was absolutely gorgeous. The entire the entire scene, the entire evening was amazing.
One of my favorite parts was Dawson just staying tried and true to the soccer pants and the hoodie. When it comes to the attire, I was excited to see, like, what's Dawson going to bust out here? And we show up, and there he is. He's got the hoodie on and the soccer
pants.
Our guy
didn't disappoint.
No, he's a model of consistency. And consistency,
right.
Dawson, is the mark of a champion.
You know it. You know it, 100%.
I'm surprised they let your ass in there. I'm not going to lie. I'm like, wow, everybody here, we're dressed to the nines.
I saw some shorts.
Yeah.
I saw some shorts.
Saw a couple of shorts.
I saw some shorts.
Okay.
You know, yeah.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, Christy was giving me the lowdown on kind of the attire. It's nice, California casual. You don't dress up too much.
Okay.
So, all good.
How much did you guys struggle at all to get out of those couch chairs?
Oh, yeah.
Well, I know you and Brad were.
Not as much as Brad Chan did, but
they
were deep.
I think I broke my right arm trying to get out, and then Brad got out, and I swear it was like, I'm like, oh, if Brad can get out of this thing, I can get out of
this thing. Bobby was the star of that last night, though. He really was making it rain at that media party.
Yeah,
he did, man.
Still.
He would not want to miss out on something like that, would he?
No, not at all. What, Bobby miss out on a Jerry party? Are you kidding me?
Gosh, that guy can work a room, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, cut 12 here. You guys were bullied by the 49ers. We even talked about this going into the game. The Cowboys were like, oh, we're not going to get bullied. The Commanders, or football team, they've been talking for like 2 years about how they bully you in division. Have we got this remedied yet? Here's how Will McClay answered that earlier with KNC.
Yeah, I mean, the goal every year as you build your team is we're trying to get bigger, faster, stronger, you know, longer. We're trying to be, you know, that's the way that the game, that's the way we want to play the game, and using our players and our schemes that way. You got to play all different kinds of way. You got to play wide open. You got to play the physical game. It's all about matchups. I do think we've improved our ability to match up with some of the things that, you know, San Francisco did to us.
Yeah, you know, I hope they can get it remedied. Watching the 49ers in that game and then the next week against the Green Bay Packers, it really became obvious, like, it's part of the culture of the team. And I don't know how it got so set in that this team, this Cowboys team, could lack the toughness that they did and have it, you know, sort of fly under the radar for so long. But it's obvious. Like, the 49ers are looking to come up and hit somebody just a little bit extra. And I don't know. I think it's more a mentality about how you play through the whistle, or the impression you're trying to leave on the team, than necessarily being physically stronger. Brian, what's it mean to you, and how much have the Cowboys remedied it so far?
It starts with the head coach. Don't know if your head coach is one of those physically tough guys. He acts like a tough guy, Pittsburgh and all that stuff like that, upbringing. But, yeah, you know, I mean, it's clear. You know, it starts with your leadership. I really do believe that. And, you know, that – but you know, you get guys like Dan Quinn comes in, and Dan Quinn's like, man, we've got to be longer. We've got to be bigger. We've got to be stronger. We've got to be, you know, those are the things you kind of, you know, that sets the tone for, you know.
Also got to be willing to, like, almost start a fight with your matchup.
Well, yeah,
you know?
But that's what I'm saying.
I'm going to hit you a little bit late. I'm going to hit you a little bit out of bounds, a little bit hard.
Jimmy Johnson is one of the toughest. I mean, they could talk about, you know, Tom Landry and stuff, very cerebral coach. Jimmy Johnson was a bottom-line badass, you know, and his teams played that way. You know, you never had to – there was never a question about a Jimmy Johnson team here. Never a question. Because you knew they were tough. You knew – hell, I played against them. That's a tough football team. It starts at the top. And so now they're realizing, oh, we got to be tougher. We got bullied. You know, Mike McCarthy, you're a little late on that. It might cost your job
Was a big cleanup. I think 9 years of Garrett kind of did that to the roster, didn't it? He called them RKGs. But what happens when you have a blanket policy on right kind of guys? You're a little soft.
Yeah, I look at these coaches around the league, and I feel like that I know the tough teams. I feel like I know the tough teams because I know their head coaches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if Mike's trying to be a tough Pittsburgh guy now, then I think he's a little late. I think he's a little late because what you're talking about is he should have come in and evaluated what Jason Garrett did for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
He should have come in and said, oh, hey, this is what we need to do a little bit differently.
Because becoming a tough team is a multi-year process.
Absolutely.
You can't clean that up.
From the word go, it should have been, hey, I'm trying to develop a tough team here.
it's a tough deal to balance as well when we know McCarthy's at the forefront of, hey, we got to keep our guys healthy if we need to, you know, ramp them down. And that's when you start looking at the pros and cons. It's like, okay, this is cool. McCarthy understands the science behind some of this stuff, and he wants to make sure we're not overloading some of these guys and breaking down their bodies. But what is the effect of that? It can be a little bit of a softer mentality, perhaps. And I do think there's a physical element to it, and then there is, Dawson, as you mentioned, that mental aspect of just I'm here to, yeah, playing through the whistles, and there's just a general toughness from a mentality standpoint,
an edginess.
Right.
Yeah,
and absolutely. You tried to bring that in with Tyler Smith, right, on the offensive line.
Yeah.
You tried to bring that with John Ridgeway, the vanilla gorilla, on the interior of the defensive line. But other than those two, I'm trying to think to myself of, like, who are the other players they brought in that you feel that way about. But I'm hopeful that from a leadership standpoint, that's something that is being preached here, where this is the type of level of physicality and toughness that we need to have. We saw it firsthand against San Francisco the last time we played at AT&T Stadium, and that's the type of mentality that you need.
San Francisco went to Green Bay and didn't score an offensive touchdown and won that game. You know why?
Right.
Mentally tough football team. Hard to move the ball on, you know? They need offense that night. They needed special teams, and they needed discipline, and they needed toughness. And that's how they won these football games.
And they played great defense, and they won the battle at the line of scrimmage. You know, I mean, I think that when you speak about toughness, it comes down to trench play, right? Mm-hmm. Offensive line, defensive line, and they got their ass kicked in that football game. And I do think you've seen an investment with the drafting of a Ridgeway, bringing in Tyler Smith. What's the first thing?
Micah Parsons is a tough guy.
Micah Parsons, certainly. But, you know, Tyler Smith, the strength.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, they did look to add some of that and some of that nastiness, especially along the offensive and defensive lines.
You need some more nasty, as the great Greg Popovich once said. How about cut four? How does Anthony Barr fit into your plans? Here's Will McClay earlier with KNC.
I think we let DQ go in the lab and see how you use that. I mean, what he is a very quality player that has done, you know, can do a number of different things. And, you know, the way that the game is played now, offenses try and be versatile. Defenses combat that with trying to be versatile and, you know, playing that chess match there. So I think that he's very good at doing that. And the more pieces you have, the more multiple you can be defensively, causing offense problems.
Yeah, that's huge right there. I'm just waiting for that mentality to click on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah.
I don't know why we're only doing that on defense. The team understands how important it is, but it's that deception and that question that every player on the field has to ask themselves right as that ball is being snapped, that now I think the defense is going to ask of opposing offenses, but offenses don't ask it nearly enough.
You add an Anthony Barr to this, and all of a sudden it's kind of like, man, okay, you're thinking creativity. We've seen creativity. We've seen him use guys. We've seen linebackers play safety. We've seen defensive ends play defensive tackle. We've seen all kinds of things from this guy.
It opens it up for the defensive backs as well.
You add Deebo Samuel to this thing, you would say, damn, they got a wide receiver. Do you know what they're doing with Deebo Samuel, by the way? That would be your hope. We keep arguing about damn Tony Pollard. You know, we keep saying how do you do this? How do you do that? You know, that's the problem with this team right now. We have an understanding of what they can do on defense. We don't have an understanding of how they can use their players on offense.
We sure don't. Okay, cut 16, next step for Dak becoming a transcendent player. What's that look like? How did Will McClay answer it? Here he was.
The hardest position in sports to play is quarterback in the NFL. And the number one thing about him is his desire to lead, the way people follow him, and then his competitiveness. There's not a better competitor on our team. And whatever the situation is, you go back to, you said you saw it last year, but you go back to the game when he was a rookie and we're playing, you know, Aaron Rodgers, and he's going blow for blow. He rises up to every challenge. And I think you're going to continue to see him grow because you look at his body now, he's changed his body, his awareness to what's going on. Every year, it's an opportunity to be better at the skill that, you know, that the position requires. I think his intelligence level, his command of the offense, all those things are going to let you see more physical ability and all the things that he's worked on. He's a consummate worker to try and get better at every aspect of the position, and you see it every year. He continues to grow.
Yeah, it's going to be a gradual thing. And, you know, on top of that, the players that he's up against become less experienced every year that he goes. You know, these new young guys coming in, I think he's going to pick on them. And I do think over the next 2 or 3 years, it's a big opportunity. If Dak hasn't improved by the time he's 32 or 33 years old, it's going to be really interesting to see how the team looks at him. You know, they talk about how they maybe would want to do a long lifetime deal with the guy, but I think these are a massive 2 or 3 years. Now, I believe in Dak, but I don't think it's a given. It's just expected, I think, that 29 to 31, the game should really start to slow down for you, and you should start picking on an experience a lot more.
Yeah, because I think of the cerebral stuff. Did you feel, Broad, it's like McClay was talking mostly about the physical things and less about the cerebral stuff? Because I think that's where you start big strides.
I was hopeful for it, because I never worry about the physical things with Dak.
Right.
I just never. You know, what is he seeing? How's he reacting to it? How is he functioning when things aren't clear? And is he able to kind of process those things and get through them? And I think that's the big test for Dak. You know, that we saw Dak's ability today throwing the ball in the one-on-one stuff. Mm-hmm. We saw it in the team stuff. You know, when he's on, he could you know, see it, throw it. No, that's not ever a problem. You know, the game starts to turn into, okay, we got to kind of tic-tac-toe down the field, you know. Can we get that done? And hopefully that's the case.
It is nice, though, physically being able to see the stuff that he's talked about, you know, with the arm angles and the velocity and that stuff. You're actually able to see that come to light in in-game practice action, right? Like today, we were able to see the arm angle. He steps up in the pocket. Tyler Smith does a good job of being able to create an area for him to step up. There's nothing open downfield, so he's got to create and contort a little sideward, sidearm throw just to get it to Tony Pollard in the flat.
Yeah.
Right? So, and then we've been able to see the velocity basically every single day with the zip that's on the football. Maybe it took a little while to get the deep ball down, but today we were able to see that. So you're right, totally, with the mental stuff. We've pointed out some of the things with that. But as he evolves these next couple of years, that's really where we need to see Dak improve.
All righty, it is the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. Training camp coverage brought to you by Metter Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram and Twin Peaks. Bobby Belt's going to join you here in 15 minutes. He'll have an insider report. LA Live with Lucius Alexander is coming up in about 25 minutes, and he'll have some randos, some fun stuff, and replay the G-Bag of the Day for you every evening at that time. So when we come back, it's time for the Expressway, 35 minutes of uninterrupted sports content.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.